Hey, good morning, Imago. I was going to say good morning, sunrise. So used to. But no, it is so good to be with you guys today. What a privilege it is to see all of you guys. We miss you guys. But it is great just to, again, to be together, be a family, and get to know new people as well. So it is a blessing. As Ben was sharing with you guys, my name is Martin, and I am originally from Costa Rica. So I remember when I first came here, I didn't speak a word in, well, maybe 2-3 words in English. And it was fun. I have a lot of funny stories about my journey learning my second language. But yeah, we've been here in California for a long time. When we first moved from Costa Rica, I came with my wife, Lori, that is joining me today. And long time ago. Matias, our oldest son, he was 2 years old when we moved from Costa Rica to California. He also didn't speak any English. But it's pretty amazing how a fresh new mind can pick it up, right? So we see our kids learning new skills in life, learning whatever, so quick, faster than us, and it was an incredible journey. After we experienced our 8 years in California, we ended up moving to Tulare because Pastor Russ invited me to join the Sunrise team. He went to Orange County back in Southern California. We met. I remember the day that we met, that I met with Pastor Russ, because it was Flory's birthday, and she was nice to both of us to say, yeah, go ahead and have a meeting, you know, and we'll celebrate my birthday later. So, but it was great to come to Tulare, to move from the big city to a small town. That was fun because, we are from a small country as well. So we experienced, again, that small town feel, that small town community. And since then, you know, I've been with Sunrise since 2000. It's pretty amazing how time flies when you are having fun, right? And I am super grateful for the leadership of Sunrise. Their understanding of the importance of different personalities in ministry. You know, we were talking about leadership, and we realized that each one of us, all of us, we are different, right? And my mind, it's so scattered. I go in so many different directions, but a good leader can't see the potential in those personalities, right? So I got involved in the Fusion School of Music. I said, hey, Pastor Russ, I have a great idea. Let's do this, blah, 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 blah. Sure, go ahead and do it, you know? And we started the Fusion School of Music. 10 years after, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm just a board member, but it is great to see other people taking that ministry to the next level. And a few years back, I go to Russ. Hey, Russ, how about if we get involved in missions in Costa Rica? Sure, go ahead, you know. And now we've been going to Costa Rica for the last 5 years, taking a group of people from Sunrise, from Imago. Not yet from Imago, so you guys are invited to go to Costa Rica with me. But from Sunrise and from other churches. Oh, yes, Chris, of course. Yes. So, but it's been great. So, again, great leadership will allow you to grow and to embrace who you are and use the strengths and the gifts that God have given you. So I am super, super excited to see what God is doing with Imago, because you guys are unique. You guys are what God designed for this community, for this time, and this season, you know. So super grateful to see the worship team, to see you guys again engage in ministry worshiping God. So what I wanted to share with you guys, it's something that it's in my heart, and I've heard, we were talking about movies in the back, and it's funny how generations switch, and now I realize even my kids, they don't watch as many movies as I did growing up. It's, I don't know, what's wrong with you guys, you know? Movies are fun, you know? A mí me encanta ver películas y veo que los muchachos ahora como que ven menos películas que nosotros, ¿verdad? ¿Qué tendrán en la cabeza, verdad? Que no aprecian eso. So, and one of the reasons why I love movies is because they are, it's a combination of many arts. You know, you have this great story. The producer goes and finds this great story, and then he starts thinking, okay, what do I do? How can I bring this to in a movie setting? How do I bring this great story to the screen? So then he goes and hires people for accounting, food, transportation, right? Then he goes and talks to the musicians. Hey, Marcus, please, can you write me a song for this movie? Sure. You know, hey, Danny, can you write a fun script for this? Sure. You know, hey, Chris, can you build this platform for us? You know, can you bring your trucks and stuff? So it is a work that involves many, many, many people. But everything starts with a great story. If there is no story, there's no movie. Simple as that, right? So everything comes from a great story. When a great story becomes a movie, then we all, as audience, we want to see more, right? And we say, oh, man, I wish they would develop this character a little more. Oh, man, I wish they would tell us why this came to happen. Or, man, I wish they would tell me more what's going to happen next. So great stories become trilogies. So what is one of your, you guys have those on the screen. Go back, Ben, thank you. Those are my three favorite trilogies of all time. But Star Wars, the original, you know, not the new stuff. It's not good. So what's your favorite movie or trilogy or series? Lord of the Rings, yeah. Anybody else? Toy Story. I cried on the last one, right? Flory and I, we cried, man. It was so emotional to see kids going away to college and all of a sudden. We can relate to that. Somebody else? Another movie? Gladiator. ¿Alguna otra película que les guste a ustedes? ¿O alguna miniserie? ¿O una novela? Novelas are stories, right? Too. Back to the Future. Yeah, great, great movies, right? Say it again. Yes, Rocky. Yeah, bring it on. Hey, Danny, that's for you. You have to watch that movie, right? Yeah, that's a fun movie. So, as you can see, you know, a great story has the potential to become something bigger, bigger and bigger, and grows and grows. So, I wanted to share with you a story that, as a new church plant, you probably read a few times in your journey starting a church. And it is the next one. The story of the Samaritan woman. Esta es la historia de la mujer samaritana. Pero esta historia es tan interesante, tan profunda, que nos da espacio para crear toda una trilogía, tres películas de esa historia. This story, in my opinion, it's so powerful and it is so profound for us as Christians that we could even write not only three movies, man, but I'm serious. There's so much stuff that we could even, between all of us, we could write the next hit in Netflix, you know, create a huge series, you know. So that is what I want to share today, a different perspective on this amazing story. And we're going to read the entire story, but before we do that, what I like to do is give you guys a little background. As you guys know, the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't like each other. It was bad, but there was reasons, and we need to know why the hate between these two groups. What happened? How do they got to this point of hate for each other? And that's what I want to share before we read the story. And just let me read a few interesting facts from the Bible that gives us clues why so much hate between these two groups. In Ezra, for instance, Ezra 4, there is a big story, and it says when the Jews returned from the Babylon exile and began to rebuild the temple, the Samaritans offered to help, but they were rejected. And then, because they were rejected, they proceeded to prevent or delay the project. The Samaritans protested to the authorities in Persia, and they say, hey, no, this is bad, king. The Jews are rebelling against you. So they started this going back and forth, sharing rumors and news of what the Jews were doing when they went back to their territory. So because of this, the work stopped until the arrival of Nehemiah, who the king of Persia commissioned as governor. The Samaritans maintained their hostility and actions so that Nehemiah could not finish the project. Their opposition proved unsuccessful, but guess what? This division between Samaritans and Jews was now complete. Samaritans, because of this, were forbidden to offer sacrifices in the Jerusalem temple or intermarry with Jews. It got to the point, because the building the temple was critical and very important for the Jews, and because of this animosity and what happened in the process of building a church, they are building, you know, the Jews say, hey, you guys are not allowed to bring offerings here. Por esta rebelión, por esta pelea, cuando estaban construyendo las paredes del templo de Jerusalén, los samaritanos se les prohibió ofrecer ofrendas en el templo, se les prohibió casarse con los judíos. Era una situación muy tensa entre los dos grupos. So, in John 4:19, we see that the Samaritans said to the Jews, oh yeah, so we can't go and worship in Jerusalem? Easy. So the Samaritans built a temple for themselves on Mount Gerizim, which the Samaritans insisted was designed by Moses as the place where the nation should worship. So they say, well, go ahead, you guys worship there, but so you know, Moses told us to build the temple here, so we have our own temple. We start building up that tension between these two groups. And also, the Samaritan says, okay, you guys have all this bunch of rules, all these traditions as Jewish, but guess what? We are only going to follow what Moses said. So they chose only to study, to make like their own Bible, the five books that Moses wrote, and rejected the writings of all prophets and all the Jewish traditions. Now, we're building up this tension. We are building up this animosity. And then we found another very interesting passage in Joshua 20. And this is very, very interesting. It says, Samaria became a place of refuge for all the outlaws in Judea. The Samaritans willingly received Jewish criminals and refugees from justice. The violators of the Jewish laws and those who had been excommunicated, increasing the hatred which existed between the two nations. So now, Samaria becomes a sanctuary, becomes a place where if a Jew broke the law, they would go to these places and hide. And guess what? They would protect them. They would keep them out of trouble from the Jews. So again, if you are a Jew, you are saying, man, these guys are messed up. They are protecting criminals. They are protecting those who break the law. And then this animosity, this hate between these two groups grows. It got so bad that in John 8:48, we see how the Jewish use the word Samaritan as an insult. When they wanted to insult one of their kind, they would call them, "Oh, you're a Samaritan," or "a demon possessed." That's what John says. So you see this hate. What can we say? But it was hate. It was bad. So understanding that background, I would like to invite us all to get into the story. As you know, my background, it's music, arts, and things like that. And when I teach, I want to get as creative as possible, because I think when we participate, when we engage ourselves into the story, then we can learn a new perspective. And again, maybe you can write your own story about the Samaritan. So what I like to do, it's knowing that background, keep that background in your minds, the hate between these two groups. Quiero que mantengan en su cabeza, ¿verdad?, mientras compartimos, mientras leemos la historia, que se acuerden de este odio entre estos dos grupos. So, knowing that animosity between these two groups, I would like to get ourselves into the story. So, what I'm going to do, we're going to be actors this morning. Okay? So, I get this. Okay, half of the sanctuary, right here. Guess what? You guys are going to be You guys are now You guys are righteous people. You guys are good people, you know? Nice. So as we read the story, you are reading the story from this perspective. So remember, you are really cool people, man. You guys are amazing, man. Woo. Okay, I have another chair right here. And guess what you guys are? You guys are good people too. But today, guess what? You guys will be Samaritans. Ustedes van a ser todos los samaritanos desde acá, ¿verdad? Ay. Oh. I need new tape. Okay, so we have more characters in this story before we read the story. Jody. Jody's going to be? So help us read right there. Mr. Danny Boy, you will be Jesus. Mr. Chris, you'll be our narrator. All right, so we're going to read the story, and it is a long reading from the Bible, but as we read the story, I want you guys to picture yourself in Samaria. Either you are a righteous people, either you are part of that bunch that were following Jesus. Remember, the disciples were Jews as well, so you guys were the cool people, man. And sorry, guys, but I'll sit down with you guys, okay? So, as they read the story, we are in the story. We are either a Samaritan or we are a Jew. Okay?
Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will
you give me a drink?" "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me to give you water?" the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.
Go call your husband and come back.
I have no husband.
You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true.
Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem.
Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.
I, the one speaking to you, I am he.
Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asks, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people,
come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?
They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him,
Rabbi, eat something.
I have food to eat you know nothing about.
Then his disciples said to each other,
my food is to do the will of him who sent me, finish the work. Don't you have the same? It is 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits for their labor.
Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the women's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman,
hey, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. We believe now that, not because of what she told us, but because what we saw in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So if I was a screenwriter, oh my goodness, there is, again, so much good stuff there that I would write a trilogy. And the first title of my movie based on this story is this. Reckless Reputation. So that is the title of my first movie, The Man of the Well. See, this story is not about the Samaritan woman. It's about a man that was waiting and waiting for Jody. It was a man that was sitting down waiting for each one of us to approach him. But see, this man who could care less about his own reputation had a plan for Jody, had a plan for all of us. And then, just imagine, why would this man go against his Jewish traditions? Why would this man say, you know what, I don't care what you guys think, I'm going to talk to a woman, have a one-on-one conversation, where back in the day, it was a no-no. You would never talk to a woman privately. He could care less about his reputation. Why would he go and talk to people that my people hated so much? Why would I do that? It doesn't make sense. So this reckless reputation was driven this man closer and closer to these people. Why would he take his disciples on a field trip to a place where they were not welcome? You know, we don't like you guys. We don't want you here. Nevertheless, Jesus said, hey, guys, let's go and hang out over there. Why would he, as a famous upcoming rabbi, teacher, crowds following him, he would risk his reputation? Some disciples were crazy about him because he would feed the multitudes, he would heal people, and suddenly, and he would also speak at the big churches back in the day. Why would he risk his reputation to go to this side of town and share with them? He could care less about reputation. He could care less about what others thought, because his mindset was to do the will of the Father and to accomplish his purpose on earth. Look what Philippians 2:6-8 says about this man, the main character of our history. It says, who, being in nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And guess what? That cross was the destiny for a lot of us in this group, and also some of you guys, outlaws who came to live with us. That was our place, you know, the cross for criminals. So he could care less about reputation. So Jesus was intentional in, it was a reckless reputation. He could care less. I don't care. I have to do the will of the Father. So that's my first movie about this this story. Second movie. Reckless faith. The man and the outcast. I think I could write another story based on the Samaritan story. Title, Reckless Faith, The Man and the Outcast. Una fe temeraria. Ese sería el segundo título de mi película. El hombre y el marginado. Why reckless faith? The story of the Samaritan woman, and there is another interesting story that I'm going to mention really quick. It's the Good Samaritan. You guys remember that story? La historia del Buen Samaritano también tiene mucha importancia. Again, reveals the division between the Jews and the Samaritans. Why? Because in you guys' mind, it'll be impossible that we could find one person that it was a compassionate, good-hearted people. There's nothing good coming from those guys over there. Nothing. So not even Chris, not even Aaron. There is no compassion in these guys. They are protecting the outlaws. They are just bad people. And suddenly, this man, Jesus, say, you know what? I have faith in them. Not only breaks the rules, but also this reckless faith in people, in us, take this group of people as the prototype of compassion. Now, guess what? We become the prototype of compassion. Now we become the prototype of evangelism. We see the Samaritan woman going crazy back to town and saying, hey guys, come. Let's go. There is somebody that you guys need to know. So Jesus suddenly changes all, breaks all the boxes and say, forget it. He believes in people. This reckless faith for the lost, for the outcast, bring us to the next level, to God's level. So imagine yourself. Have you been in a position where you have to prove yourself to somebody or to someone? It's kind of awful, right? You're fighting all these feelings of feeling less and less. But guess what? With Jesus and in God, we don't have to go through that because he believes in us. Simple as that. Reckless faith for all the outcast. Third movie, and that's my trilogy. Reckless Love, The Ultimate Sacrifice. Ese sería el título de mi tercera película basada en esta historia de la mujer samaritana. Un amor temerario, el sacrificio final. And because of movies are so interesting and so fun, suddenly you have the writers creating all these scenarios where you discover new things. So in this last movie that I see in my mind based on this story, it's number one is the last episode of this trilogy. But the truth is revealed. So now we are in the movie, right? We're watching the movie, and then suddenly something is revealed. And guess what it is? That the reality is that you guys were also so now we are all equal. We are all messed up. We are all broken people. We are all guilty. We are nothing. Even though we are all Samaritans, that man, Jesus Christ, comes and shows this reckless love. He already proved that he believes in us. He accepts us the way we are for his purpose, for his glory. And now he shows us this amazing, unconditional love. Let me read something from Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Just imagine, you are walking. You have your little container for water. You know you need to get to that water fountain because it's getting hot and it's getting, and you're super thirsty. You continue walking and suddenly there is somebody waiting for you. And that person changes your life right there on the spot, changes your life. What would you do? What would be your response to such an amazing experience? I think the Samaritan woman was right. What did she do? ¿Qué hizo la mujer samaritana después de haberse encontrado con este hombre en el pozo? ¿Qué fue lo que ella hizo? ¿Ah? Yeah, she got into this conversation and said, wait, you know a lot of stuff about myself, right? And then Jesus continued showing that love and that truth and grace. That's something that it's very important for us to remember that Jesus comes to our lives with words of truth and grace. Jesus will never sugarcoat what we need to change. Have you realized that? And we go, ouch, ouch. He never sugarcoats the truth. But he also presents that truth in such a loving way that we surrender and we say, you are right. I need what you have for me. So this woman said, yes, I do need what you have for me. I need your water. I want your water. So now we are all Samaritans. And then Jody comes running like crazy, sweating. Hey, guys, let's go, let's go, let's go. You guys have to meet this guy. He's out of this world. He is amazing. He told me everything about myself. Let's go. Let's go. Let's hear what he has to say. And then we go there, and we look at Christ, and we talk to him, and we listen, and we all say, truly, this is the Savior. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one who is changing my life. I've been broken, you know, as a person. My emotions have been shattered quite a few times. And being in those places, it's kind of a, there's despair, loneliness. It's awful, you know, when we go through tough times in life. It's awful when we have to experience suffering. When it's awful also when we see ourselves and we say, man, I messed up again in the same thing. I sin again. But again, his message, unconditional love for us, presented in truth and love, will take us out of that awful place. So, I don't know you guys, but how would you rewrite this story? How would you adapt this story into your own movie? There are so many, you know, ways we can go, right, in this story. There are so many details that we can really see the power of God's word, showing us different layers, different experiences, things that we can relate to, things that we can discover. The encouragement that we get from the word of God, it's amazing. So just think about it. Maybe this week you can start thinking, man, I would write the story this way or that way. And as a new church, as a missional church, this passage, this story is very important. We cannot forget that God put Imago here in Visalia for a purpose. And we will find a lot of Samaritans. A lot. So what are we going to do? How are we going to relate to them? How are we going to accept that they are not as nice and as holy as we are, right? Ooh. So that's my encouragement for today, guys, that we don't lose focus of our purpose. Why Sunrise? Why Imago started this adventure? So we're going to pray right now. And again, you know, we all are in different places in life. And I would like to just to pray for us so that Jesus will reveal once again in truth and grace what I need to continue working on in my life. But then also, I would like to pray for us so that we never forget our missional purpose and we never forget to follow our role model and how he handled relationships with others. And our role model is Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this amazing story. Thank you for taking the time and wait for me at the well. Thank you, Jesus, for taking time to talk to me even though you shouldn't, even though it was against traditions, even though it was against the norm. Thank you, Lord, for looking at my eyes, to my eyes, with love and kindness, revealing the truth, opening my heart to your love and to your incredible, reckless love for me. Lord, thank you for meeting me there. Thank you for spending all that time at the well with me. Thank you for not looking at me as an outcast, as a sinner, as the lowest of all. Gracias, Señor, por haber tenido la paciencia de esperarte ahí en el pozo. Esperarme a mí, esperarme y ofrecerme esa agua que calmaría mi sed para siempre. Gracias por esperarme ahí sentado en el pozo, sabiendo que la gente hablaría mal de esta conversación, sabiendo que la gente vería mal que tú, un judío, hablara conmigo, una persona samaritana, despreciada, odiada por todo el mundo. Y sin embargo, tuviste ese amor incondicional por mí, ese amor temerario de atreverte a romper los moldes y esperarme en el pozo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for waiting for me at the well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for loving me in such a way, for leaving everything behind and reaching out to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.